Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right, we'll turn those lights up a little bit where you can see your Bible. You did bring your Bible today, right? Yes. All right. I want to talk to you today about the difference one day can make. What a difference one day can make. Now, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, but I want to start in John 14. So if you'll be finding John 14, and I want to start there at verse 15 and read through verse 20. And then, for the most part, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 the rest of the day. But when you find John 14 and verse 15, just shout amen. Amen. All right, if you're there, y'all been up and down, so just honor God's word where you sit this morning. Amen. Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. My. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you, how long? How long? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you'll see me. Because I live, you will live also. I said, because I live, you will live also. Amen. Sometimes I just want to shake somebody and say, are you alive? Yeah. If Jesus is alive, how can we be dead? Amen. Verse 20, at that day, he's talking here about a specific day. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Father, seal this truth to us today that you can make a difference in just one day in anyone's life. What a difference a day makes. Father, seal this truth to our hearts today and help us to live it out. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. What a difference a day can make in somebody's life. Some of you all, maybe a couple of you may remember, you were around December the 7th of 1941, the day Japan bombed Pearl Harbor and World War II came into fruition. I remember exactly what I was doing on November the 22nd of 1963. That was the day John F. Kennedy, our president, was shot. You may remember April the 4th of 1968. That was the day that Martin Luther King was shot and killed. I remember exactly what I was doing on August the 16th of 1977. That's the day Elvis Presley died. Several of you may remember, I think most of us in here are probably old enough, you know where you were and what you were doing on September the 11th of 2001, the day the Twin Towers came tumbling down. What a difference just one day can make. On August the 18th, 1956, in an Indian hospital on an Indian reservation outside of Oklahoma City, that day made all the difference in my life. That's the first time I saw the day as it is. I was born that day. You know, all of these events that we're talking here about happened in a day. And there is a tremendous difference that just one day can make in your life. Now, there's a day in church history. Jesus is talking about it. He calls it that day in John 14, 20. It's the day of Pentecost that made all the difference in church history. That's the day the Holy Spirit fell, the church was born, and I mean the church was never, the world really was never the same. After the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, He spent 40 days on the earth, appearing and reappearing to His disciples. And And on the day that Jesus ascended back to heaven, after that 40-day period, he told his disciples, this comes from Luke 24:49, to go back into the city, go back to Jerusalem, and wait for the coming of the Spirit. Because on that day, you will be endued with power from on high. And he gave the church their marching orders. We call it the Great Commission. And then he ascended back to heaven. And so those disciples were obedient. There was 120 of them in the upper room in Jerusalem. And these folks are powerless. They're afraid. They're fearful. They don't have the Lord with them. He's been gone for 10 days. And they're wondering when this is going to happen, when this great power is going to come upon them. And then all of a sudden, that day, as Jesus had described it, came and made the difference for all the disciples. You remember that scripture over in Joel that said the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out on all flesh. Well, that's what happened on what we call the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. And this happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this was an amazing, astounding, life-changing, difference-making day for the church, because the Spirit of God birthed the church that day and gave them what they needed. And by the way, you know what I've been praying this week? That the Holy Spirit would make all the difference up in here this morning. Amen. That He would do what He wants to do here, and it would make a great, great difference in the life of Second Mile Church. Those followers of Jesus Christ were up in that upper room. They were fearful. They were anxious. They had anxiety. They were confused. They were weak. They were ineffective. But when the Spirit fell, they were powerless no longer. They had all the power that a person ought to have any right to have. And they left that upper room, and they carried the gospel to the entire world. And even better than Muhammad Ali, they shook up the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today when I think about the church, and I think about our church, and this isn't our church, this is the Lord's church. Hello? But when I think about us, the average Christian today, I believe, is bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. If you're a true believer, you've been to Calvary for pardon. But what a lot of believers need to do is go forward and go on to Pentecost for power. Amen. The average Christian today, I think most believers are kind of like those Ephesian elders and believers that were asking in Acts chapter 19, have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you know what their response was? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. When we leave here today, I pray that everybody that's within the sound of my voice, you'll leave here knowing and understanding what the role of the Holy Spirit is. Amen. And that He will make all the difference in your life. How many of you know the Holy Spirit makes all the difference? Anything God's doing today, He's doing through the Spirit of the living God in this dispensation. So, that kind of unpacks where we're going. Now, you're going to have to listen up fast. It's already a quarter till. Have mercy. That's another reason that God has trouble doing everything He wants to do in the churches, because we're so locked into what time it is. I'm telling you the truth. All right. Three things. Let me give you about Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. First of all, Pentecost gave us the presence of God's Spirit. Gave us the presence of God's Spirit. Let me read verse 16 again. He says, I'll pray in John 14... I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Tell somebody, He's in you. We tend to forget that, but when the Holy Spirit saves someone, when the Spirit of God convicts you and challenges you, and you receive what Jesus Christ did by faith and you surrender to Him as your Lord and Savior, immediately the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your life. And He's not only with you and for you, He is in you. He's in you. Look at your neighbor and say, I see Him. Some of y'all just lied. He's in us. He is in us. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God, who is in you? Now, at the moment of salvation, y'all just go quickly with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I want everybody to see this. 1 Corinthians 12. That's just, turn right in your Bibles a few pages from John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st. There you go. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Well, I'll wait a minute. If you don't have a Bible, do you have an electronic device that has a Bible app on it? Okay. For by one Spirit, let me say that again. For by one Spirit, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit at the moment of salvation. At the very nanosecond of salvation, whenever that happens, the Spirit of God comes in to take up residence in that new believer's life, and He, the Holy Spirit, baptizes, immerses, places, identifies him or her in the body of Christ. You're a part of something a lot larger than Second Mile Church. If you're born again, you've been baptized. God has identified with you, and you have been baptized. That's what we call the Spirit's baptism. And there's just one. This is where me and some of my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, have a little difference. I just believe in one baptism. What, isn't that what it says here? Now, I'm not your average Baptist preacher. I do believe in tongues. I believe it's a spiritual gift. And God is the giver of the gifts. And He knows who needs this and who needs that. He knows how emotional I am, so He didn't let me have that gift. He knows how nuts I'd be anyways. But we're talking here about the Spirit's baptism at the point of salvation. And He comes to take up residence in our life. And how long does He stay? Thank God for that. You know, in Old Testament times, the Spirit of God would come upon people at a specific time for a specific purpose, right? But the Spirit would often leave. Remember, the Bible says the Spirit left Saul, departed from Samson. You remember David prayed in Psalm 51:11, do not cast your presence from me. Do not remove your Holy Spirit. Temporary. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God showed up, He came to take up residence, and He is there in that believer forever. That's why I believe in not once saved, always saved. I believe if saved, always saved. If you're born again, you've got the Spirit of God in you. And He's doing a work in your life. And if you're in sin, hey, guess what? He's not going to let you get by with that. He didn't let His Son get by with your sin. What makes you think you can? And so He'll whip you, chastise you, spank you, discipline you. And if you don't listen to Him eventually, He'll just take you out of here. Read your Bible. And so the day of Pentecost gave us the presence of God's Spirit. He's in you. And He's in you forever. How long's forever? Forever? Right? So that tells me, if I've got the presence, I ought to have the power. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2. We're ready for this now. Some of you are still hung up on tongues, what I said about tongues. If tongues is ceased, why is there 4 or 5 chapters about it in the Bible? Hello? But it's the least of all the gifts. Did you hear what I said? That's what the Bible says, it's the least of all the gifts. I may talk about this a little bit next Sunday and talk more about the filling of the Holy Spirit. We'll see what God does with this. Secondly, Pentecost gave us the power of God's Spirit. Now, I told you, Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus said, you go down to the city, go back to the city, and you wait for the coming of the Spirit, because when the Spirit comes, He will endue you, E-N-D-U-E, with power. Power. Say presence with me. Presence. Say power. Power. Presence. Power. Presence. Power. All right. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So if you've got the Spirit of Almighty God, you've got His presence, but you also have His power. You've got it. And it's a whole lot better than the Energizer Bunny. Acts chapter 2. Now there's 2 symbols of power that's given to us here. Are you with me so far? All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost, this is that day that Jesus was talking about in John 14, 20. The day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Isn't that amazing? You get 120 Baptists together and they're not of one accord. They've got 120 different opinions. They like 120 different items on the second buffet brunch. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. As of a rushing mighty wind. And listen to what it did. What it did. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so one of the symbols of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and this you not only have the Spirit's presence, you have the Spirit's power, is wind. Wind. Wind is powerful. How many of y'all were sitting in your homes a few nights ago and some straight line winds came running through your backyard? Man, I thought the trees were going like this, you know. I didn't go outside, but if you know, the wind blows where it wants to, when it wants to, and you can hear its sound. It blows. On this day, 120 believers are praying. And the Spirit falls. And there's a sound that they all hear. And it fills up this whole room. And it sounds like a mighty rushing wind. By the way, wind is one of the Greek word for spirit, wind, and breath is pneuma. And that's the word here. Wind is a powerful force. And you need. We're going to be celebrating 5 years together here, March the 25th. Can you believe that? I can't believe it's 2023. But do you know what Second Mile Church needs more than anything else? We need the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow. We need my half Pentecostal brothers are back in the back. You can hear them. I'm telling you, most of us have been to Calvary, but we need to go to Pentecost to get the power. Wind is powerful. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to blow, tremendous things begin to happen. Oh, that God might send a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit in the life of Second Mile Church. Look at your neighbor and say, send it, Lord. Aren't you tired of this humdrum? Don't you want to see God do something only He can do? Well, if the wind of the Holy Spirit begins to blow, it'll be irresistible. And it'll be wonderful. There's a second symbol of power here. Look at it with me. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, like fire. Okay? And one sat upon each of them. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And what does fire do? Man, it burns. And it burns hot. I saw a video. Do y'all know how many houses burned down from Christmas trees that caught on fire? I was blown away. But fire burns, and it consumes, and it purifies, and it cleanses. Oh, we need fresh fire here. Fresh fire. You know how they purify gold, right? They put it in the fire. And the impurities of the gold rise to the top, and they skim it off, and then go through that process again, and then eventually the fire purifies that gold until you've got a pure chunk of gold. That's what the Spirit of God does. He purifies us and cleanses us. When you read through the early days of the New Testament church, they were so into the consuming fire of the Holy Spirit that if anyone told a lie, they wound up dead. Amen. Read Acts chapter 5. What if God was still dealing with the church that way today? Aren't you glad you came today? Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, there's a lot of other things that fire provides. Warmth, protection, illumination. Remember that pillar of fire? Children of Israel, that pillar of fire protected them from the Egyptian army until they could cross. And then once they got over there in that Saudi Arabian desert, you know, it'd be hot as blue blazes during the day, but at night, the temperature would drop. Well, that pillar of fire warmed them up and illumined that place. You know, they didn't have street lights back in the day. And so fire is a symbol. May the fresh wind and the fresh fire of God fall upon this church. That's what we need in 2023. Pentecost gave us the power of God's Spirit. There's one final thing. Pentecost gave us the purpose of God's Spirit. The purpose of God's Spirit. Are you ready for this? I promise you, you're not ready for this. Watch this. If you haven't got anything else today from the sermon, get this. Look at verse 4, Acts chapter 2. And they were all... Does that word say baptized? It says filled. Filled. We're commanded to be filled by the... There's no commandment to be baptized by the Spirit. But we are commanded daily to be filled. I may talk about that some more next Sunday. Would you come back if I do that? Don't even answer that. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, speaking in tongues is proof positive that you have the Spirit. Maybe not, amen. Watch this. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound, what sound? This sound, remember the rushing mighty wind, occurred. The multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. When they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt. Didn't I do a good job with those words? And parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues. Here it is, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Now jump over to verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day, remember the day Jesus was talking about? That day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. I'm going to say something that's really going to tick you off. The number one sign that you've been filled by the Spirit of Almighty God is not that you speak in another tongue. It's whether or not you're a witness for Jesus or not. The number one sign that you've been filled by the Spirit of God is that you witness and testify of the good works of Jesus. You don't, I can tell right now, some of you are having trouble with that. Let's go back to John. Come on now. Y'all don't have to like me, you got to love me. John 14. Now watch this. Watch this. The purpose of God's Spirit, the overarching, overriding purpose that the Spirit of God came. John 15, 26. Excuse me, John 15, 26. My bad. John 15, 26. It's not far. It's right beside John 14. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, watch this, listen to this. Lean in, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. The number one sign that you've been filled by the Spirit of Almighty God is that you can't shut up about Jesus. You witness for Him. You testify of Him. Verse 27, and you will also bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. And then jump down to chapter 16, verse 14. He says it again. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The number one sign that you've been filled by God is that you share the love and the great works of Jesus with the people that you run around with or the people that you run into. Maybe this is the number one reason why so many churches are struggling. Because they need to get filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Because when you have the Spirit, you're going to testify about Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts chapter 1 verse, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Think about what we just read. If you're filled by the Spirit of God, you're giving a testimony. You're testifying about Jesus on a regular basis. And if you're not, you're not filled by the Spirit of God. I'm not saying you're lost. That you're not saved. I'm saying you're not filled by the Spirit. And that's His purpose for giving you His Spirit, is to share Jesus with others. Now I want to ask you, what if everybody in here today got filled by the Spirit of God? Let me tell you, it'd make all the difference in somebody's life out there. And it'd make a pretty big difference in your life and mine. So it's time to do business with the Lord. When you hear the word, and we've read the word multiple verses, there's a response that has to be made. Are you going to say yes, or are you going to say no? I'm not asking you, are you speaking in tongues? I'm asking you, are you testifying of Jesus? Are you giving a witness for Him? And only the Spirit of God can give you that boldness and that courage and that want to. Oh, I'm praying that 200 of us will leave here this morning with a bad case, I can't help it. You're empowered from on high. Let's pray. Father, I can't stir anybody up. If you don't do it, it can't be done. But God, we've read the truth this morning over and over and over again. And if we're not sharing Jesus, we're not filled like we should be. And Father, forgive me. Sometimes we make this so hard. But being filled by the Spirit is just being surrendered and submitted to Him in every area of our life. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to pray. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. And just say something like this, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I do believe all this. And I want to be a witness for Jesus. I need your boldness. I need your courage. I need for you to do what only you can do. There's lost family members, lost neighbors, lost co-workers, Father. Lost neighbors in my community. Oh God, I want to make all the difference in their life. Help me to help them make a difference in their lives. We're just going to open up the altar right now, and you just come. We're singing Amazing Grace. Is that what we're doing? Let's just stand quietly and reverently. And Bobby, would you hit those lights back there? You just come. Altar's open. Ask God to come and fill you with His Spirit. Do it now.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.